Okay, we are holding on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph for 6 lines from the end of the narrow line. Mishnah said Shloshim Atbeis Zer Agav Zer. If you found 3 coins, one on top of the other, then you have to announce them. Amud Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, Behu Shasuyin Kimigdolim. That is only if they are in the shape of towers, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, that they're the widest coin on the bottom, and the next one, and the next narrower one on top of that, etc. By the way, I mean, why? You're like a tower, yeah, 3 or more. By the way, I mean, why would a person b'chlal leave a pile of coins like that? And Rosh Hashanah, I noticed in the Fonsino Gemara, they had in one of the footnotes, a kind of balabatish explanation. What if you have a person that's carrying money right before Shabbos, and he doesn't have any place safe to put it? So he makes it a simon like that. He makes it like a tower like that, and that way he figures after Shabbos, he'll have a chance of getting it back.
Okay, so
that's the discussion that we mentioned yesterday, where the Ravid holds it's only in Rosh Hashanah, because in Rosh Hashanah they get scattered around, and the Rashba says not necessarily, because the first person who sees them is Mestam, we're going to pick them up. So if it was on Shabbos, okay, the first Yid is not going to pick them up, fine, but at least they'll stay there until after Shabbos,
Where's the commentaries, all these commentaries, what are they? It's back in the Gemara?
Some of them aren't back in the Gemara. A lot of these, some right. No, they're the more advanced ones, like the Rashba and the Ritva and whatever, which are long ones, are usually printed as separate scrolling. The shorter ones are in the back of the sector of Gemaras. There's some basic ones that are on the back of these thin ones, like Marsha and whatever. The Ravid and Rashba and whatnot are usually printed as separate sarim.
Which stuff? What's it
called? They're called Chidushia, Rashba, Chidushia, Ravid, whatever. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about that afterwards. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm done with them. So, you are not? Well, I think that's
what you're saying. Well, that's
what you're saying.
All right, so let's continue.
6:30 tomorrow. I thought we were talking about the shield.
No. Okay, by the way, why he's called Rabbi Yitzchak Migdala, the Maharat Chayas wants to say that he's called that because of the din of Ushasu in Kimigdalim. That's the one din we have from him, so therefore he's named after that. The fact is there are a couple of other statements of him in the Gemara as well, so not necessarily it might be he's called Migdala after the name of the place he came from. Anyway. We learn similarly in the Braisa that if somebody finds scattered coins, then he's allowed to keep them. But if they're arranged like towers, then he has to announce them. And what is considered like a tower? If you have 3, one on top
minimum,
of the other.
Minimum
3, one on top of the other. Yeah. Choice was pointed out, by the way.
Line.
No, the line we're going to take more is going to ask about soon. Wait. It's not only towers. We're going to see soon. Okay, there's going to be a couple of other configurations that for sure are considered. Tosfos points out that the real difference is Tosfos says whether it's derech hinuach or derech nefila. Is it something that it definitely was put down that way deliberately, or is it possible that it just happened to fall that way? Yeah.
I mean, if you're putting money down as a simon, you have to really trust people around you.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's what the head.
Right. Well, again, according to the Ravid you're talking about, it's just the offered anyway. But yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so the Gemara tells Gufa Kasha. Okay, you have a contradiction in the Braisa itself. Amrit Motza Mois Mefuzoris Haleir Shalach. The Mishnah says you find them scattered, then they're yours. Scattered, Lachura implies they have one here, one there, one ever. None of them are touching each other, Bechlau. Hamash Shalchofi Shalchofi, but if they are overlapping a little bit, one is partially on top of the other one, Chayav Lachris, then you would have to announce them. Ema Sefer, but then the Braisa continues, Asurin Kimigdolin Chayav Lachris, only if they're shaped like towers, you have to announce them. Hamash Shalchofi, no, that's what we're asking. Within the Braisa itself, there's a contradiction. Hamash Shalchofi Shalchofi, but if they're overlapping, Harei L'Shaloi, then you're allowed to keep them. So what is it? Scattered, the Braisa is telling us you can keep. Like towers, you have to announce. What if they're overlapping? Each coin is a little bit on the previous one, yeah. The answer is no. Tana, kol she'ein asurin kimigdolin mefuzoris tarlehu. No, the Tana just means, by mefuzorin, he doesn't mean like you initially assume that it means one here, one there, etc. As long as they're not asurin kimigdolin or any of the other configurations that we're going to talk about later, then it's the equivalent of mefuzoris. So the fact that they're overlapping, the fact that part of one coin is a little bit on top of the other one, that doesn't matter. That's not a mikdol. Therefore, it's not a simon. Therefore, it's not a sin. Again, because it may well be derech nefila. It may have happened to fall that way. And then in that case, like Tosfos points out, you don't really have a simon then. You don't know where they fell. You don't know how many fell. So it's not like the guy is going to be able to give any kind of simon to get them back. Okay. Amrav Chanina. Lo yishanu ela shel shloshim malachim. This that we're talking about, that it has to be like a tower, is only if they're from 3 different kings. Now, at this point, the Gemara doesn't realize that that's talking about sizes. At this point, the Gemara assumes it's talking about the images on the coin. Each coin, each king puts their own image on the coin. But if they're all from one king, then you don't have to wait. Then you don't have to announce it. Question is, hey, Chidomi, what's the scenario? If they are shaped like a tower, then even if they're all from one king. So if you have one king's quarter and nickel and dime, why shouldn't you have to announce them? And if they're not shaped like a tower, why should it matter whether, even if they're from three different kings, if it's not arranged like a tower, why is there any more of a symmetry than that? So this statement of Rav Chanina, what was said was actually said as follows. This that we're talking about, that you have to announce them, is if they're from one king, but they're similar to the coins of three kings. Meaning it doesn't matter what the actual images on the coins are. It matters the sizes. If you have the widest coin on the bottom and the next narrower one on top of that and so forth, then it is Magdalen, doesn't, yeah, quarter nickel and dime, then yes. Abel Shem Malachachot and Chayv Lahachris, okay, Marshall takes that out. But if it's all the same size, you would not have to announce it. What's considered that it's arranged like a tower? Revichatata, the widest one, the quarter on the bottom. Umetzia, the next narrow, or the middle size one, the nickel on top of it. Vizuta, and the smallest one, the dime. Ilave metzia, on top of the bottom one, on top of the middle one. In that case, when we have it arranged like that, we know he must have for sure put it down deliberately. But if they're all from one king, meaning not one king as in we don't care about the actual images on the coin, but if they're all the same size, three quarters or three dimes, they're all the same size, even if they're all lying on top of each other, you're still allowed to keep them. Because it may be that it happened to fall. It may be that they fell like that. Now, you're going to ask, pretty tough that they would land exactly one on top of the other. So the ritual explains not so much that they may have fallen like that, but the person who lost them doesn't have any, the person not necessarily, when it's like a tower, it was for sure derech inuach. When it's in a configuration like this, three of the same kind, the person himself who lost them is going to be miyayish because he's going to figure other people who find them are going to be murder heter for themselves and say to themselves, not necessarily did somebody deliberately put it down over here. It may come to fall, and it may be that he was sitting here, for example, and then it fell out. Let's say,
okay. Maybe it was secret.
Yeah, that could also be the coin saying, yeah, it's possible. However, Rav Yochanan says that no, even if it's all from one king, meaning they're all the same size, nevertheless, you still have to announce them. So he's not disagreeing with the Braisa, obviously, but the Braisa said Asuyin to Magdalen, and Rav Chanina was the one who explained that it meant that there are three kings versus one king, different sizes. Rav Yochanan doesn't have to agree with that. Different Rishonim actually discussed. Are Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina necessarily disagreeing? In fact, maybe they would tack to agree that it really depends whether it's derech inuach or derech mesila. Okay. So the question is,
different sizes. What Rabbi Yochanan
says? So Rabbi Yochanan is saying no. I'm saying afilo shel melech echad. No, we're talking about the same size. Once you have one on top of the other, that's also asurin kimigdolin. Question is, my machriz. What are you going to announce? What do you announce in order that somebody should be able to come and give a simon? Lechora, minion. In your lechora, you're going to announce that I found X number of coins. I found three coins, and the person is going to have to give a simon. In which case, my iriyat tlosa. So why davka does it have to be three coins? After the train nami, the same thing should be if it's two coins. So Ravina says
the simon would be the mokin.
The simon would be, for example, if the person will say that I found them in that I found them one on top that you found them one on top of the other. So the answer is Amar Ravina tiva machriz. No, because what you do is you announce I found coins. So again, like we said the other day by Shtaris, two is not, if a person comes and says two, all you're doing is basically repeating back what you said because mir rabim shnayim. Therefore, it has to be minimum three. different Mepharshim talk about, is the question actually only on Rav Chanina? Is it the question only on Rav Yechanan? Is it maybe also on Rav Chanina? The Shittim Kubetis, for example, says the question is not really on Rav Chanina. He says you have to have a tower like that, the wide, middle, and narrow. Obviously, you can't have that with two. You're not going to have that. It's not going to be tower shape. That's just going to be. It happens. The small one is on top of the big one. The dime on top of the quarter. According to that, the question would only be on Rav Yechanan, who said that it doesn't matter even if they're all the same size. Some of the Mepharshim learn, and others of the Mepharshim learn that the question can be on both of them. Even if you say that has to be Derech Hinuach, like a tower, still you could ask with two. Okay. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, which is like what you asked. Kishirma, what if you find them arranged like a circle? One, two, three, et cetera. Yeah. Kishirma, what if you find them? No, not Kishir. Kishir means like a circle. Kishuramahu, what if you find them in a... Shir literally means a collar of an animal. It means a collar of an animal. So it's like a more term for a round configuration. Kishuramahu, what if you find them in a straight line? Kachatsuramahu, what if you find them like a tripod, like a segel?
Any shape, really.
Well, yeah. Kisulamahu, or what if you find them like a ladder? Now, a ladder is different than we talked about before, overlapping. Mishalchufi Shachofi is when most of the coin... What is
with...
No, Mishalchufi Shachofi is when most of the coin is on the ground and a little bit of it is on the other one. Like, Mishalchufi Shachofi would be like this. They're overlapping, but it's...
I think most of them are each one.
No, no, no. Kasulam is where most of the... Kasulam would be like this. Kasulam means like a ladder.
Right.
So it's like this.
Everyone, one on top, left.
But they're overlapping enough that they're most of each coin is on the previous one. It's like a ladder. It's like a staircase that you could climb.
Oh. Well, you cannot have much of that.
Well, okay. You're not going to have 10 coins like that. But come on.
Yeah,
you know,
it has to get between 9 and 4. That's it. Not,
yeah.
Not
the best don't leave money in a floor. Right?
Well, yes. Okay. Okay. So, most of these are left unanswered, except Shait Miyachada. We can answer one of them. So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav Avagor, Kol Sheila Machnas Lakesam Minehem, any configuration where you would be able to put a little piece of wood under it, meaning under the bottom one, the Noitam Vasachas, and you'd be able to pick them all up together. Chayav Lahakur, then you have to announce it. So therefore, the Sulam is like that. The Sulam, you pick up the bottom one, and all of them go with it. Okay, you have to be careful to balance it so it doesn't fall, but in principle, you
could. The bottom one, that's very hard.
Yeah, but in principle you could, as opposed to all the other ones when it's like a circle or a line or what have you, then you can't. You can't pick up one and all the other ones will go with it. Therefore, it's left as a suffix, and therefore you have the usual question of what you do in the case of a suffix. Do you have to announce it? Do you have to leave it there in the suffix? Do you have to remember? Do you have to take it and announce it in the suffix?
The guy who finds it has to know how to balance it very well.
No, it doesn't mean he has to. It means in principle you could. Yeah.
But even if it's a rectangle, I mean, obviously there's no possibility of...
But there is also a possibility that different people drop that. Again, we're not necessarily talking about that you yourself, when you find it, right, the chances of you finding them like that is astronomically small. But the person himself who lost them, like the Ritva said before, may well be Miyash, because he's going to figure this is not enough of a simon that people are going to figure. One person may take one of them, another person may take another. Fine, I originally put them as a square, let's say. But one's going to take one's going to take another, and soon there's not going to be any noticeable shape.
Obviously, to put it this way, he did not have... He was not likely to be Irish. Otherwise, he would not have put it in.
No, because he may figure that people are not going to figure that. Okay.
No,
not necessarily. I don't know. Maybe not. But no, it's not so much that a person may take one versus the other. It's more that other people who find them may rationalize to themselves that it might have
possible.
Okay.
I think
so. Therefore, so the person who lost it himself is going to have yush.
Okay,
but since the Gemara left it as a suffix, then it means it's a suffix. It means that either you should leave it there and expect the guy himself to come get it back, or you have to take it and announce it.
Yeah,
as a suffix.
Yeah,
okay, that's what we're saying. Yeah.
My question. Then.
Okay. By the way, and the Rambam has a different gear, so the Rambam leaves out Shreit Miyachada. The Rambam explains that the case about sticking in a piece of wood is a separate case, so according to him, even the case of a ladder is also part of the suffix. Okay. Anyway. Boi Ravashi. Avnei Beis Kulis, Mahu. What if you found the coins arranged like the stones of Beis Kulis? Kulis is a Renazara throughout Shas. It's usually called Merkulis. Mercury in English. The standard method or the standard way they worship it is they have a pile of stones, and the minimum size pile is two stones and then one on top, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute. So what if you found the coins arranged like that? Two, and then one on top. Tosfos, by the way, points out this is the only business. Well, you're allowed to, you have to announce it or not. Yeah. No, not necessarily. No, Yid may have put it. No, because he didn't put it that way to worship it. He put it that way because it's a configuration that people will notice was put there deliberately. Okay, Tosfos points out, by the way, usually the Sabbat is already called Merkulis throughout Shas. Why are we calling it here Kulis? So Tosfos says like this: the word Kilus, the Shurish Kuf Lamed Samach has two meanings in Hebrew. It can mean to praise, and it can mean to make fun of. The Goyim, En Shem Avodah Zarah Merkulis. The real name of it is not Merkulis. Let me explain. The real name of it, Tosfos says, is Kulis. The Goyim called it Kulis because Kulis means something praiseworthy. The Chachamim did two things. Number one, they called it Kilus, which means praise. The Chachamim did two things. Number one, they changed Kilus to Kulis, which means making fun of. And number two, they added the prefix Mer, which means like the opposite of. So therefore, by making it Mer Kulis, it means the opposite of the fact that the Goyim consider it praise.
Mar bitter.
Right, but that's Tosfos points out Mar Huchilus, that Mar means to exchange something for something else. Merkulis, because it's not Merkulis. Okay, so what would be the deen like that? Toshma, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Matza mois mepuzore tereo shaloi. If you find scattered coins, you can keep them. Ta'avne bis kulis chai b'achlis. But if you find them in this shape of base kulis, then you have to announce them. The Elohein avne bis kulis. And what's the definition of avne bis kulis? Achas mikan, b'achas mikan, b'achas agaben, one here, one there, and the third one on top of them. So it's a minimum. We obviously had the same way. If someone did six coins, we're going to do the same thing, or more so. But yeah, the minimum is three. If somebody finds a coin in the street,
is that applied today, by the way?
Or
does nobody does Avodah Zarah this way or
no? But it's not a question of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara is describing it as that shape because that's the shape they use. But it happens to be when you described it to people, that was the easiest way to describe it.
Today would be the halacha.
So the halacha would be the same kind of thing. Before, I mean, you can argue people don't put coins in the street nowadays. If a person put coins in the street, it could be considered aveda midas. Then you get into the general question: b'chlal, the Rambam shita an aveda midas. If somebody deliberately throws away something, like the Rambam says, for example, somebody throws their wallet away in the street or something, you're not obligated to return it to them. We mentioned that a few times. But the Rambam holds you're not allowed to keep it for yourself either. So you have to hold on to it for them, basically.
Sorry, let's say in Rome.
But they're right.
In Rome, there's a fountain. They throw coins.
That's, first of all, that's going. That's different.
So can you take it?
I mean,
it's a test.
It's a test. Lahore, yeah.
It might belong to a private place.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if it's a public thing, Lahore, you'd be allowed to.
As long as
you're going
to get to that particular place.
Yeah, whatever.
The dean, whatever it is.
I don't know.
Any place where it's water, you talk coins.
Yeah. So would you be allowed to take it, technically? Yeah, I mean, as long as it's a Shasar Abin, probably. I don't know. But
nowadays, if you find in Golos, you find a baby at the Kola.
No, well, it depends whether it's a place that's mostly Jews or mostly Goyim. We established before that if it's a place that's mostly Goyim, then you don't have to. Unless it's something that was truly lost by a Yid, for example, a Sefer, then yes.
This doesn't apply to that. It's so in Golos
anymore. Yeah,
it's the river, when on the end of the Jews put barriers.
Okay, onward. Turn it up on it. How much is sell of a shuk? Somebody finds a coin in the street. Another person finds him. And he says to him, Shalihi, that coin is mine. And I have a siman on it. Chadoshahi, it's a new coin. Niroinisi, it's a coin from Emperor Nero. Shamalach Plenihi, or from some other king. Loya Maklum, what he said doesn't count for anything. It's not a siman. And not only that, even if his name is written on the coin, Loya Maklum, he didn't say anything. There's no siman for Machbea. Now, before
Shemak. Wait a minute, we said for me, that's a triangle, that's a simon. So why not a mabbeh that's
because
a triangle?
Because coins don't come triangular.
Some of them do.
Okay.
Like English coins, they have special shapes.
Da'amrina, da'amar, because we say dilmei al-hukhi apka, because we say the person might have spent the coin, or me'ina shachrina nafal, and it fell actually from somebody else. The fact that you have a simon on it, such as your name, doesn't prove anything, because fine, you wrote your name on the coin when you had it, but then you spent it. Now, the difference is, Mephoshim say, coins are something that's normally spent. Other things, yes, of course, you could sell anything. You could write your name on a piece of clothing and then sell it. But it's less common to do that than coins, which Lloyd saw in Nitna. They're made only for spending. Therefore, it's not a simon. On the other hand, there are Mephoshim, some of the Rishonim learn, that if you're talking about a simon, for example, the real question is, for example, when we say, for example, it's new, it's from Nero, it's from whatever, fine, but there are zillions of coins made like that. But let's say, for example, you have a coin that has a crack in it. It's something, there's no chance that there's any other coin. Even you wrote your name on it, fine. You could have written your name on 100 coins. but a crack in it, it's very unlikely that there's another coin that has a crack in it. Would that be a valid simon or not? Some of the Rishonim say, based on this Gemara, yes, that would be a valid simon. But others of them add, say that, no, since the Gemara is finishing off over here, this Dilma Pukiapka, even if it had a crack in it, it still wouldn't work because the fact is it's likely that you spent it.
Yeah, the guy said, I didn't found it. He used to hit. He went to the store, he got it changed.
Yeah.
I didn't find it, you know.
That's the halacha. No coin.
So that's the halacha. No coin has a simon, right? Now, we're talking about coins that circulate. I mean, obviously, if you're talking about if you're a coin collector and you have a coin from 200 years ago, that's different. We're not talking about that. There is, by the way, I know a couple of the Rishonim say that this last line, Dama Dilma Puke Afka, actually comes from the Rish, that it wasn't in the original text of the Gemara. That's what makes them say that's not necessarily a question of spending it. It's more a matter of, is it something that there, that could conceivably be on any other coin, and therefore, again, a crack might be different.
Okay.
Mishnah said, Motza Achra Gapa, Achra Agedra Gozlos Mekusharim, if you find behind a Gapa, Rashi describes that Gapa is just a place where a wall was temporarily closed up with wood or sticks or whatever. Oh, Achra Geder, or behind a stone fence, you find the Gozlos Mekusharim, young birds that are tied together. These birds, by the way, we're going to see from the Gemara, are young enough, they can't fly yet. All they can do is walk around, all they can do is hop around, yeah. Or you found them on the paths in the fields. Now all these places, a gapa and a gedder and a shvilin shabasades, are all a place. It's not totally Rosh Hashanah where the next person who sees it is going to come pick it up. But it's also not a place that's fully mishtamer. It's also not a place that's fully guarded and therefore could stay there indefinitely. It's something fine. Not many people come by there, but enough people might come by at one time or another that it's not necessarily safe there. So, and the Mishnah says you shouldn't touch them because, as the Gemara is going to say, the person might have deliberately left them.
Temporarily,
yes. Motza kli b'hashba. Another din, if you find a keli in the garbage, im mechosa l'yugaba, if it's covered by the garbage, don't touch it, because again, the person may have put it there deliberately and is intending to come back for it. In Megula, but if it's uncovered, where then anybody might take it out of there, no Solomach is, then you should take it and announce it.
Why did people give stuff in the garbage?
So I've mentioned before this idea that they mentioned in the Sansino Gemara, what if you're carrying it right before Shabbos? But other than that, I don't know, it might be for whatever reason. Let's say, for example, a person right before Shabbos, he's carrying something. He doesn't have a safe place to put it. Yeah, the same thing as Haley, I guess. I don't know. He puts it temporarily over there and intends to come back for it after Shabbos. So whatever, yeah, it could happen.
They wouldn't think about looking in the garbage.
Yeah. Garbage is taken in once a week sometimes.
Well, and the Gemara is going to actually distinguish how often is this garbage heap cleared away. But you could have a garbage heap. Imagine somebody, for example, goes and puts it, let's say, in the Staten Island landfill, and it could stay there for 100 years before somebody comes across it. You know,
putting 100 gold coins in a trash can.
No, we're not talking about the trash can over here where it's taken out every day. That's Aveda Midas. Yeah. Okay. Onward. The Gemara says, "My time. What's the reason why you should leave those baby birds alone?" Gamrinan, because we may say, Hani inishatni'inu, somebody actually went and deliberately put them over here. The ishokalahu, and if you were to take them, leslahu the marayu simon of a gabayu, the owner doesn't have any simon in it, as we're going to discuss in a second. Hilkach lishbekinu, therefore, better you should leave them, ad osi marayu vishokalahu, until the owner of them comes and takes them back. So again, this is a place that's mishtamer ktas, as Tosfos says. It's a little bit guarded. If it was a place that's not mishtamer at all, don't take your chances about that. You have to assume that it's an aveda and the owner had yush. Tosfos says, there's no simon in it, so there's no simon, as the Gemara is going to say. So if you found it in Rosh Hashanah, the owner was truly miyash.
They were tied together, right?
The tied together, the Gemara is going to explain in a second, is not a simon. But yeah.
Obviously, if it's there for 2-3 days and you get a thought, then you could take it.
Yeah, that's everywhere. Okay, so the question is, why not? Ramai la have a kesher simona. Why not? I mean, isn't the knot where they were tied with a string lechora? So that the knot and the string of the simon, each person ties knots differently.
Right.
We're talking about over here they're tied by their wings, which actually doesn't just mean that by their feathers. So the Shittim Kabetzis explains that. What it means is, in other words, not that you don't tie the wings together, it would break the wings. It means that you tie, it's a common thing to do in those days. You take the feathers, you take those long feathers from the end of the wing and sort of wrap them and tie them together. So the bird can't fly away. Yeah, because I was going to say in a second, these are birds that are too little to be flying yet anyway. They're gozlas, they're baby birds. the Kulam Ahochim Akatrila, who everybody ties him the same way, and therefore there's no simon in the way that they were tied, and there's no rope or anything to be a simon. Okay. Question is, well, I have a Mokim simon. Why isn't the place where you found them a simon? We're talking about birds that are big enough to be able to jump and walk and hop around. Okay, the question is, even Medadin Ma'alma also Umatarin. In that case, they could have come from anywhere. They should be Mutter. Who says that somebody deliberately put them here? They could have wandered over from someplace else. By the way, there's a Mishnah and a Gemara in Baba Basra that describes that birds like that, that are not able to fly, or in this case where their wings are tied and they can't fly anyway, they won't walk more than 50 amos from their nest, from their place, from the shoiva, from the birdhouse where they live. They stay within 50 amos of it. So therefore, based on that, the smeh and the shach on Shulchan Aruch over here discuss, what are we talking about over here? If the smeh says if there's a shoiva within 50 amos, never mind that. You have to assume it belongs to the Baal shoiva. Because the birds probably walked over from there. The Shach disagrees on various grounds and says, Adraba, then there's just as much of a chance it came from the Shoibach as that somebody may have dropped it over here, somebody may have deliberately put it over here, or it may have walked over from the Shoibach. If there's no Shoibach nearby, then the only possibilities are somebody dropped it or somebody deliberately put it over here. But if you have a Shoibach within 50 amos, where then already you have a third variable, then not. It depends whether you follow the smear or the Shach. I don't know. Ask your local Rav if the case comes up. So even Medadin, the question is Ma'alma also, then they could have come from anywhere, or Mutarin, then they should be. No, the answer is because Ikalamema Ma'alma also. Yes, one possibility is they came from elsewhere. They may have wandered over from elsewhere. Somebody may have dropped them, whatever. Ikalamema Inish Atzinu, but there's also the possibility somebody may have deliberately put them over here. In which case, you have a case called Sofakinuach, where you're not sure if they deliberately put it there or not. And remember, there's no simon on them. If you have a sofik, whether something was placed there, you should not take it, because the owner doesn't have a simon, and therefore he's going to end up losing it. How's he going to get it back? But if you took it, you should not return it. What do you mean by you shouldn't return it? Rashi says it means if somebody comes and claims it, don't return it to him. He doesn't have a simon. Tosfos says that's not what it means.
Don't bring it back to the same place.
So Tosfos says, don't put it back in the same place, because what's going to happen? You took it, you brought it home, the owner comes back, doesn't find it there. At that point, he's going to be Miyash. He's never going to bother coming back looking there again, because he's going to figure it's gone. So what good is it going to do to put it back? No, does it apply even to non-goes, unless it applies even to other things that he may or may not have placed there. Does it apply to inanimate things too? But what good is it going to do to put it back there if he's not going to find it? That's one explanation in Tosfos. However, which according to that, Tosfos says it means if you picked it up, you looked around, you don't see anybody, fine, by all means, put it back. You haven't harmed anything. Tosfos then brings another explanation that no, it means as soon as you picked it up, you became a shomer on it. We learned in Bava Kamma, and we're going to learn later on in our Perek, that a shomer of an Aveda has a din of a shomer chinam, a shomer sacha. There's a different opinion of Rabbah and Rabbi Yechinam. Therefore, as soon as you, well, no, we learned that it may be a shomer sacha because you popped it from other mitzvahs, you popped it from certain other mitzvahs, you popped it from tzedakah while you're taking care of it. So therefore, that was Rabbi Yechinam's shita. So therefore, according to that second explanation in Tosfos, as soon as you picked it up, you're obligated to hold on to it until you can find the owner, or in the case of baby birds, we're going to learn later on. What you do after a certain amount of time, you're allowed to sell them and set the money aside.
We tied together. Why isn't the number of simon?
Because not necessarily. Did you find the same number as there were originally?
No, the birds he's talking about.
No, the birds. Yeah, some of them might have gotten away, and you only have some of them left.
Bushes around the bush.
Yeah. One more thing, the Rambam has yet another explanation of kol sofek yinuach v'chilu lo yitzol v'imnat l'yachzir. The Rambam learns, talking about even something that has a simen, you shouldn't take it if it's sofek yinuach, because then you're being matriach, the guy, to go and find you and give a simen. As opposed to, if you were to leave it there, he'd be able to come find it himself. V'imnat l'yachzir, but what the Rambam learns, v'imnat l'yachzir means once you did take it, since it is a sofek, you're allowed to keep it.
What's the purpose of me? I understand. Do you give it back to him? They take it, or
we're going to learn about what happens if you give it to him after years. Of course, he's allowed to take it, but whether you've accomplished the mitzvah at that point, we're going to discuss there. Mishnah said, "Motzah kli b'ashpa." If you find a keli in the garbage, mechusta le'yugabay. If it's covered up, you shouldn't touch it. Megula noita l'machav. If it's uncovered, you should take it and announce it. Mishnah says, "A reminu." I have a contradiction. A brayta says, "Motzah kli tamun b'ashpa." If you find a keli hidden in the garbage, noita l'machav, you should take it and announce it. Shekein derech ashpa lifanes, because it's normal that a garbage heap is going to be cleared away, and then the thing is going to be lost forever. Yeah, regardless of covered up. Amarasvid, Loikasha, Hobakuvi Vakasi. The one case is that our Mishnah is talking about a barrel or a cup. These are largish things. These are largish things. It's less likely that they're going to be cleared away accidentally with the garbage. It's more likely that he put them there deliberately. Or not cleared away with the garbage. Sorry. These are things. They're things that small things, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, may have been accidentally swept up with the garbage. You know, you clear your Shabbos table and you accidentally throw out a small fork or something with it or whatever. But a large thing like this, it's more likely you put there deliberately. Hobasakini behemnik, as opposed to if it was, for example, a knife or a fork. If it's a barrel or a cup, you shouldn't touch them because they're not necessarily a kubi, doesn't mean a barrel necessarily, a bottle, whatever. Largish things, yeah. You shouldn't touch them because it's more likely you put them there deliberately. Small things like that, where you may have accidentally thrown them out with the garbage, no telemachers, then you should take them and announce them.
Something that you found in the garbage on a mistake. First, not even know that you're calling out something that he lost.
The simon on it, right? You say, I found a fork, for example, and the person comes and gives a simon that it has a certain pattern on it or whatever. Nowadays, if they make thousands of forks the same way, that's not necessarily the simon. The simon would have to be, let's say, that a particular chine of it is bent, maybe, or that whatever, you know, but yeah.
If you find something that you had made yeush on, that you recognize as yours at some point in time, and
you're allowed, if it's still there, of course you're allowed to take it. Yeah, you're allowed, if it's yours, I guess you're allowed to take it, yeah. Okay. Rapapa, I'm a hubba kubi bakasi. Rapapa says both cases can be talking about barrels or cups, large things, v'loy kasha, but it's still not a contradiction, because kan ba'ashpa hasui lefanes, kan ba'ashpa she'en hasui lefanes. The one case, the braisa is talking about a garbage heap that's regularly cleared away.
Right.
Therefore, no telemachra is even a large thing, because otherwise it's going to be completely lost.
Right.
The Mishnah is talking about she'en asur lefanes, it's a garbage heap that's not cleared away very often. Therefore, if it's a small thing, better you should leave it, because the guy will have a chance to come back and get it. So the question is,
you know, if it's frequent or not.
You know, you live in that area, you know whether this person is. The question is, ashba asur lefanes, aveda midasi. If it's a garbage heap that's regularly cleared away, then the guy, when he put something there, it was midas. It's the equivalent of throwing away his wallet. He knows it's going to be gone very soon. Again, you're not, according to the Rambam, maybe you're not allowed to keep it for yourself, but you don't have to know to the machris. You don't have to go start making announcements and finding the owner either.
He doesn't know.
What do you mean if he doesn't
know? The guy who dropped it.
The guy who put it over there. Mustama lives in the area. Otherwise, why is he putting it over there? He expects to come back for it.
That's the neighbor.
Well, no, we have to say what we mean is ba'ashba she'ena asuri lefanes. We're talking about a garbage heap in the Mishnah, which is not regularly cleared away. All of a sudden, the owner unexpectedly decided that he's going to clear it away. So therefore, before he clears it away, take the thing, the braisa rather. We're talking about, therefore, even a large thing, take it and announce it. So you can't say it's aveda midas, because when the person put it there, he expected this garbage heap is going to stay here for a long time. All of a sudden, the owner decided to clear it. So yeah. Gemara says, fine. Bishleim elor papa, hainet katani shekain derech ashba lefanes. According to the papa, we can understand why the braisa finishes off as normal for a garbage heap to be cleared away. So we mean, some garbage heaps are normally cleared away very often. Some, at least at any time, the owner might unexpectedly decide to clear it away.
Never lived in New York.
Elor of zvid, maya shekain derech ashba lefanes. According to the zvid, that the difference is between big and small kalim, what's the point of mentioning that garbage heaps are usually cleared away? No, the answer is, what it means is, what it means is, it's normal that in a garbage heap, lefanes does not mean to clear away the garbage, it means to clear away into the garbage. It's normal that small utensils, like forks and knives, accidentally get cleared away and end up in the garbage. And therefore, you'd have to announce them. Mishnah says, and so the halacha is actually like both Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. They're not really arguing, per se. So small things you have to announce regardless, because they may have been accidentally cleared away with the garbage. Large things, it depends whether it's an ashba hasui lefanes or not.
Probably not covered.
There's also the distinction, right, of the Mishnah, that if it's uncovered, then that if it's uncovered, that if it's mechusa, that if it's covered, and it's a large thing, and it's an ashba, that's not being cleared away, then leave it. Yeah.
Oh, leave.
Well, if it's an ashba, that's not going to get cleared away.
Unless it's being cleared,
and then... Yeah. Mishnah says, Motza Bagal, if you find something in a pile of stones, like from a collapsed wall, over Kosel Yoshen, over an old wall. Actually, the Shittim Kabbalah says that Yoshen goes on both of them. It means the heap of stones is from an old wall or a new or an existing wall. That's also old. How old, we'll see in the Gemara. Harei the Shalom, then you're allowed to keep these things. Matzav Kosel Chodesh, if you find it in a new wall. Mechetzi v'lachutz Shalom, if you find it in the outer half of the wall, you're allowed to keep it because probably somebody from Rosh Hashanah Adam put it there and forgot about it and was Miyash. And we'll see in the Gemara that we're talking about a case where it's very rusty, so it's obviously been there for a long time. Mechetzi v'lachnim shabalabais, but if you find it in the inner half of the wall, it belongs to Balabas, because he himself may have left it there, or his ancestors may have left it there, or whatever. Imhoye maskir l'acher, and if the owner was renting out this house to other people, then even if you find something inside the house itself and you don't know whose it is, you can also keep it because, as the Gemara is going to say, it may have come from one of the guests. So that we'll discuss in the Gemara who the guests were and why we don't assume it belongs to the Balabas. Why don't we not assume it belongs to the Balabas? That we're going to discuss in the Gemara.
It's like every month someone else, so it's you don't know who left there. So what are you doing inside the house?
This person rented, but this person is an expert.
The renter
finds something,
The
Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, so why is it that you're allowed to keep something that you found in an old heap of stones or an old wall? Because you could say to the owner of the place, this didn't come from Jews, B'chlal, this was left over by the Amorim who used to live in Eretz Yisrael 1,000 years ago. Okay, the question is, after Amorim Matni, Yisrael and Matni, what do you think, only Goyim hide things in the walls, Jews don't? Why shouldn't we assume Rashi says that the owner is using this house for many years? Why should we assume that it's not his? The answer is the shasich tfei. We're talking about if it's very, very rusty. So therefore it's obviously been there a long time.
So the Jews lived a long time also there.
But if it's so rusty, you have to look at it like from an archaeologist's point of view. Basically. You have to look at it from that point of view. Okay, now a couple of things on that. First of all, the Rambam has a different girsa over here. The Rambam learns not the shasich, that it's rusty, but the shasich, Meloshen Evan Shasiya. It's near the foundation.
Oh.
It's normal, in other words, you're not, even if you're living in a house that's left over from the times of the Amodium, every so often, you renovate the house. You tear down a wall and rebuild it or whatever. It can happen if there's something hidden in the wall. You don't notice it during the renovations. It ends up falling to the bottom over there. And then another layer is built on top of it. So if you have it, it's going to be from the Amodium. It's likely to be found near the bottom of the wall. If you find it in the middle of the wall or something, it's obviously not from the Amodium.
They have houses like that in the time of the
and nowadays, I don't know, but in the times of the Gemara, I guess so, yeah. Few other things on this. Tosfos asked, Tosfos and most other Rishonim asked the question, why doesn't the owner of the place own it because of Kinyan Chatzar? So Tosfos answers, because he may never find it. Kinyan Chatzar is something that you may conceivably find.
But it wasn't a Chatzar, it was a wall.
A wall, same difference. The point is his wall, it's his property. It's his property. Anyway, so the Tosfos says because he may never find it. And the Rambam gives a bit of a different twist on that, that it's, like we learned before, that Zutu Shoyam, if you find something that's swept out with the tide, it's Avudu Mimenu Mekalad, if it's gone from everybody's knowledge. Here also, it's like it's gone from everybody's knowledge.
The only one who might have found it was this guy who was in construction for the construction, he found it.
Yeah.
Would it be found?
Right.
Because he was working in the small wall.
The Ravid argues on the Rambam on that, but Ravid says the reason is because it's not a Chatzar HaMishtamera, because the owner, that it's not a Chatzar HaMishtamera, necessarily because you found it in a wall. It's not necessarily,
What is low?
He, the person who found it, can say to the person who owns the property, who owns the wall, Shalomari in Hanya. Another interesting thing, I think, that Ramban points out is, even if we were to say, so why don't we say, for example, okay, let's say an Amori left it in this wall, fine, whichever Yid took over this house when they first conquered Eretz Yisrael, he was Zoche in it for himself, and his descendants afterwards are Zoche in it. The answer is that Ramban says, because anything that they got during the wars of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to belong collectively to the whole Jewish people. So this guy who ended up living in that house can't be Kone at the Kenyan Chatzar, it belongs to everybody. But it doesn't, because nobody knew about it. Therefore, now, 500, 1,000 years later, you find it, you can't say that he inherited it from his ancestors.
But divided by the soul and house, and you, this is your house and your house.
That's the point. But anything that was found up to that point is supposed to belong to the whole Jewish people. If this thing and the wall had been found at the time, it would have been part of the common property. Mishnah says, "B'kosel chodosh, if you find something in a new wall, meaning now we know that new means that it was built after the time when the Yidden settled there.
How long ago?
Now we're talking 3,000 years in the times of the Mishnah.
Only 3,000.
Yeah, come on, new. By the way, I mean, most Meforshim say we're not only talking about a Murdi. I mean, the same thing in principle would apply any other place where it may have come from the primordial Goyim or Luvdi. I mean, if we lived in houses that had been built by the Indians, you know, we didn't, because mostly they lived in tepees, but then conceivably you would have the same kind of thing. Yeah, okay. So, because of Chodesh, if you find something in a new wall, Mechetzi v'lachutz shalo, if you find it in the outer half, we said, then you can keep it. Mechetzi v'lachnim shalbalabai, if you find it in the inner half, then it goes to Balabas. Omer Ravashi. So Ravashi says it depends. It's not so simple. Sakina, when it comes to a knife, bosa kata, you go according to the handle, whichever direction the handle is in. If the handle is sticking towards the outside, even if you find it in the inner half of the house, it was obviously put there by Bnei Rosh Hashanah and vice versa. The kisa bosa shnase. And when it comes to a money bag, a purse, you go according to its laces. Same thing, but you hold it by its laces, therefore, yeah. Okay, so the question is, so why is our Mishnah distinguishing which half of the wall you found it in? Let's look at it. Look, if it's a knife, which way is the handle facing? Are the laces of the money bag facing in or out? It means laces, yeah. The answer is Masnissin Be'udra V'naska. No, because the Mishnah can be talking about things that don't have anything definitive like that. It can be talking about Udra, which is Muchin, it means fleece or fluff or whatever, like you'd use the stuff of...
It's the Velcro.
But yeah, well, not Velcro per se. No, not Velcro.
What is
Udra? Udra means like a fleece, like you'd use to stuff a cushion or whatever. Mm. So there's no simon in it, which direction it was put from.
Feathers?
Yeah. Well, not individual feathers, but whatever.
In a cushion, you have.
No, in a cushion, then you could tell which direction. Okay, maybe, whatever. No, we're talking about like the loose fleece itself. You have fleece over there. You could use it once you found it. You could use it to stuff a cushion, but there's no indication from it which direction it was put in to begin with. Vinasco, or it can be talking about, for example, a bar of silver. Again, there's no particular indication which direction it was put in from. Therefore, you have to go according to which half of the wall it's in. Tana, we learn in a Braisa. If the whole wall is filled with it, in other words, it goes from one side, it goes throughout the whole thickness of the wall, throughout the hole is throughout the whole thickness of the wall, and then the thing is throughout that whole thing, Chokin, then the owner of the place divides it with the person who found it. Question is Pshita. Neither one of them is Muchzik. Of course, you have to divide it. The answer is no. No, but we need to be told that in a case where the wall leans to one side, and therefore the hole leans to one side. Maudetema, so you might have thought, maybe it slid down. Maybe originally, for example, let's say the wall was leaning this way. So the originally the wall was like this, and you put it over here. Now the wall is leaning, so now it's sort of sliding down, and therefore you find the other half of it in the other part. Kamash Malon, therefore the Chiddush is we don't say that. We go according to the way we found it. I don't know. I mean, Rashi says Hakosa Lachad. He's asking, why do you have to say that the wall is leaning? You could say the hole is leaning.
Yeah.
When I learned this,
if the hole is leaning, the wall can be straight.
Right. Yeah. That's his question.
But so.
I guess,
not much more likelihood it's going to go down.
The wall is
slanted.
But it's a valid point. You could have a diagonal hole in a wall. I guess the answer is, I mean, the Gemara knew, Rashi knew, that, walls are not usually built like that with diagonal holes in that. If you're going to have a hole, it's going to be, for example, where brick fell out or something, and it's going to be a straight hole, and the only reason it would be slanted.
Stones could be...
If the wall is slanted, the stones will break into...
That's what we're saying. Yeah, okay. It could be just as well, I guess, that the hole is slanted. But I guess Balabatish, they don't usually build walls in a way that you're going to end up with slanted holes in them. I don't know.
Okay. Why do you say Mechetzi Alechutz belongs to the finder? Why didn't you say the Balabatish owns the house, he has the whole wall? What does it make a difference if somebody comes on the other side?
Because that's the thing. Because it's more likely that somebody from Rosh Hashanah put it in. And again, Tosfos says, we're talking about also, it's again very, very rusty, just like in the first part of the Mishnah. Therefore, whoever put it in there, the likelihood is it was put in by Bnei Rosh Hashanah has probably long since forgotten and had use on it.
You don't see the owner of the house putting it on the outside part of the wall. It doesn't matter, it's his house.
No, but still, he wouldn't put it in the outside half precisely because Bnei Rosh Hashanah may come and take it.
And of course, if the wall is going towards the suburb, it's going to just...
We're obviously talking about a wall that goes to Rosh Hashanah, right? I mean, it's a wall between two people's houses, and it's just between the two of them, yeah. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, that if you rented out the place to other people, and even if you find something inside the house, and you don't know whose it is, then you're allowed to keep it. So the question is about mine. Why should he be allowed to keep it? Lezo Bosa Basra. Why shouldn't we assume that it belongs to the last person who was there? Rashi learns the last person means the last guest who was there.
No,
you ask the owner.
Why? There's many people coming in.
That's the Gemara. Wait, we're going to talk about it. But wait, on the assumption that you rent it out to one person at a time, fine, the last person who left it over there is not going to be Miyash, and he's going to figure that the owner will find it and then get a hold of me. Tosfos learns that Basra means actually the Balabas himself. The Balabas himself is living in the place all the time. So why should we assume it belongs? Fine. What are you saying that Harei Elishaloi, you can keep it because you don't know who it belongs to? Say that it belongs to the Balabas. He's living there all the time. The guests are not. They come and go.
Yeah. Also, the guests are not. I said the house is being rented to people.
That's the thing. The Tosfos learns that the Gemara's question is the Balabas is always living there. The Balabas, let's say, rents out a room to people, but he lives in the place. So therefore, if you find something there, it's more likely it belongs to him.
He receives guests for Tishri.
Miloitnan, after all, isn't it like what we learned in Shkolim? We learned about 3 years ago. If you find money in your Shalayim in front of cattle dealers. Now, the thing is like this. There's a din of Maiser Sheni money. We've learned about it many times. In Maiser Sheni money has to be spent in your Shalayim. Therefore, a certain amount of the coinage that's floating around in your shalayim is Maaser Sheni money, but eventually a person goes and buys food, such as an animal for a korban with it, and then the money becomes cholin. We have to figure out what is the status of this money. Is it Maaser Sheni? If you find it in front of the cattle dealers, then la'olam Maaser. You have to always assume that it's Maaser because the likelihood is the person dropped it before he spent it on an animal. If he had spent it on an animal already for shlomim, then it would become cholin, but he didn't yet. And Tosfos points out that you can't assume that the sellers dropped it after they already sold the animal because you have only one seller and a lot of buyers, so you have to go according to the roiv. Therefore, you always have to assume it's Maaser Sheni money. Baharabayis, cholin. If you find money on the harabayis, it's always cholin. All year round, even during Yom Tov, when many people are bringing Maaser Sheni money to your shalayim. Tosfos points out, the Mishnah says at the end of Brachos, you're not allowed to take money onto the harabayim. However, Tosfos says, you're not allowed to go in with your money bag, like tied around your waist or whatever. It looks like a gnai, like as if you're taking a whole bunch of money to go and do business over there. But to take a couple of coins in your hand, let's say, for example, to give Matzah Shekel or whatever, that you would be allowed to. So therefore, the likelihood is it's not Maaser Sheni money, even during Yom Tov time. It's more likely to be Cholin money. Therefore, it's always considered Cholin. The Rambam gives a different explanation. The Rambam says there's a couple of Mepharshim talk about why isn't Hekdesh Koine with Kenyan Chatzar, and they give different answers. One answer is not necessarily is Hekdesh Koine with Kenyan Chatzar. Anyway, the Rambam
definitely belongs to a Yid. Only Yidin comes.
Fine, it belongs to a Yid, but you don't have any. It doesn't have a Simon. There's no Simon. It wasn't a pile of three coins.
And why Hekdesh doesn't Koine with Kenyan Chatzar?
That's one explanation, is that Hekdesh is not Koine with Kenyan Chatzar.
Oh, why?
Because a Yochid is Koine with Kenyan Chatzar, not necessarily Hekdesh. I don't remember the details why, but that's one explanation.
The Rav,
Anyway, the Rambam gives a different explanation why Bahana Bayis Kulin. He says because the likelihood is that the Gizbo took it out of the treasury of the Bis Mikdash, was already Mechalalith on whatever it is he's going to buy, and now he's taking it to buy whatever it is. So therefore, also it's Kulin. Over your shalayim, you can find it in the rest of your shalayim, anywhere except for the harabayas and the cattle dealers. B'shayim ma'itashana cholin. Throughout most of the year, it's cholin, because most of the money floating around your shalayim most of the year is cholin. Over shata regal, I call ma'itah, but during yom tov, it's all ma'itah, because during yom tov is when shalosh regalim, everybody has to come. So then you have to assume it's ma'itah sheni money and spend it on food and drink. No, not ma'itah, but you, the finder,
can you spend it?
Can have to spend it on food and drink and eat it with the halachas of ma'itah sheni in your shalayim, yeah.
Cool. It's valid for you to...
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done, right? And the point is you can't use it as cholin money.
No, you cannot.
Yes, that's the point.
But can you use it for...
Yeah, that's what you have to use as Maaser Sheni. That's the point. Well, Amr of Shmai about the Eda, my time. Now, why is that? Well, Chura, let's say you find it a week after Sukkot. Why don't you assume it's left over from Sukkot rather than new money that somebody brought in? Hoyo, the Shukkot of your Shalayim are suing they scabbard the Choyen because the streets of your Shalayim are swept every day. Rashi says, in Pesachim, this Gemara is also in Pesachim, Rashi says that it's because they swept them from the dirt. Tosfos says over here what they actually did is they were sweeping to get rid of any shrotzim, because the sheretz is metame. And they needed to make sure, in Yerushalayim, everything was returned. Whatever, they had a cleaning crew over there, they had a sanitation department, yeah. So therefore, since it's swept every day, Alma Amrinan, so therefore that shows that we say, Kamai, Kamai, Ozlu, the earlier money must be gone already, because Tosfos points out, especially if they're sweeping to get rid of any sheretz, and even a tiny bone of a sheretz in the Tamid, if there was any money there, if there was any coin there, they'd find it. Bahami Achrininu, therefore this must be other money that fell now after Yom Tov. Hachanami, the same thing in our case, in our Mishnah, Kama, Kama, Ozlu, Lachora, we should assume that the earlier ones are gone, because Lachora, first of all, when a person, Rashi says there's two considerations. When a person rents a place and then he's leaving, he usually checks over carefully to make sure he's not leaving anything behind. And then when somebody else comes in, he looks and he puts away his stuff in the drawers and whatever, and if there's anything there, he'll find it. Between the two of them, we can assume that anything from before is gone. Lahani debas reninu, and therefore what's left is only from the last person. So again, according to whether it means the last person means the last guest, or according to Tosfos, the owner of the house, why are we assuming that you can just keep it?
I would say that if it's before Pesach, the guy's looking a little more careful than you would call it.
Yeah, okay, fine. Amr Shlokesh, Mishum Bakaparak, Mechasai Pundak Shloshi Yisrael. Yes, but you're talking about a case over here where you didn't just rent it to one person. You made it an inn, you rented it out to three people, to three Jews together. Three Jews already is a roi. And we said before that if you have a place that where Rabbi Mitzurim Shom, then you don't have to return it. We said Sratia or Platia. There is, by the way, a good deal of discussion among the Rishonim. Why is only three people? And we said before Sratia or Platia, like a place where there's thousands of people. Why all of a sudden is three people enough, according to this Gemara?
To make a row.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different answers. I mean, for the Gemara itself is going to tell us soon that when you have three people, you're already miyayish because you figure that you don't have any way of proving which of the other two people it might have been that took it. Let's say even one of them took it. But the Ritva talks about, for example, there may be a difference, let's say, between Rishus HaRabim, where if you have just a few people passing by, fine, you're not in miyash. When you have hundreds or thousands of people passing by, fine, you're miyash. As opposed to when you have an inn, when you have a hotel, where you stay there for a couple of days, like Rashi says, then the person is going to be miyash, even if it's only three people, because he's going to figure in that amount of time, somebody is going to look around and find it and keep it for himself, as opposed to people aren't going and searching around or just around. He says the same logic, for example, he says the other day when he talked about the shul, where there's a goyish caretaker living over there, same idea. Because he lives over there, he's constantly looking around for things. Therefore, the likelihood is that he found it. Okay, the question is, Shemami na halacha k'bshim min alazah for the b'roi Yisrael. Fine, does that prove then that the halacha is like k'bshim min alazah, what we were talking about the other day, even if it's a place where there's many Jews, and we left that unresolved over there? No. Ela amar of nasha b'yakim, g'n chasoy pundit v'shloysha ovdik ha'chavim. No, rather we're talking about that you made it a pundit, you rented it out to three goyim together. Now, do you actually need three goyim? Rashi says no. Rashi says really even one goyim would be enough. Because we mentioned three Jews, we're mentioning three goyim. Tosfos says that no. Tosfos says you actually do need three, because otherwise you can't call it a roiv. And the Shach adds on that, technically even two goyim is a roiv against one Jew. But you need, it's called roiv ha-nikr. You need, like, there's a noticeable roiv of goyim over Jews.
So even if there's
Therefore, according to that, you pack
10 Jews and 3 goyim?
No, here we're talking about it's only 3 goyim. We're not talking about, here we're talking about as long as you rented it to only 3 goyim, again, according to, only 3 goyim, that, or according to Rashi, even one is enough, then that's already enough. Mm-hmm. And that's already enough. You can assume one of them dropped it rather than the balabas, and therefore, yeah. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabua, Afilo Teim L'Shloish Yisrael, you don't even need that. You could go back to the assumption that it was 3 Jews, because my time, why would you say that even 3 is enough for him to be miyash? Not necessarily does that mean the halacha is like a b'shim and a lazo in a place where Rabbi Mitzuri and Sham, like the street. Mm. Could be, the halacha would be that it's a place or street where it's mostly Jews you do have to announce. But a case like this, of a hotel room with only 3 people, is different. My time, who didn't know from miyash? Because the one who dropped it is going to have been miyash by that point. Name or Alma, because he's going to figure to himself like this. Now, let's consider. In a shachrini, lahaba bahadi elahani. The only people who were with me were these other two guys. Amri kamayo kam mizimni lahadruli. I told them already several times that I lost it and that they should return it to me if they find it. Vlehadruli, and they haven't yet returned it to me. Bahashta adruni ali. Now, when we already left the place, are they all of a sudden going to return it to me? No. If they actually meant to return it, Adru and Yali, they would have already returned it to me. The fact that they didn't return it to me, but that title Migzala, then they intend to just steal it from me, and therefore I'm miyash because I have no way of proving which one of them it was. Therefore, three people is enough already for him to be miyash. Tosfos points out, by the way, even so, what if there were only two guests? Lachor, you have two guests in the Balabas. Tosfos says, let's say they don't suspect the Balabas that he took it. They only suspect among themselves. So two, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, there's no issue because the person is going to figure to himself, the only other one who could have found it is the other guy. I'm going to force him to tell me, and that's that. When once you have three of them, then he can't do that. But as did Rav Nachman the Taiman, in fact, Rav Nachman goes according to his Shita. The Amr Rav Nachman, if you find a coin that fell from one of two people, then you have to return it. My timer, and Tosfos points out, even if there's no simon in it, my timer, how who did Nachman mean? Let me yash. No, in general. Let's say, for example, the Ritva talks about, let's say, the two people together were sitting on a bench, let's say, and afterwards you come and find it. My timer, how who did Nachman lo miyash? The one who dropped it is not necessarily going to be miyash. Meima Oma, because he's going to figure to himself like this. Mechti, let's consider. In a shachrin, I have a bahadori alahai. There was nobody else with me except for this one guy. And Tosfos points out, let's say we're talking about, for example, why would he think more that the other person took it rather than that he himself dropped it? Tosfos says, let's say, for example, both of them were looking for it. And then this other guy, a third party, came and found it. The original owner of the coin is going to figure, you know what, it's more likely, why can't we find it now? He's not going to figure, I lost it and somebody else picked it up. He's more likely to figure, the other guy, while he was supposedly helping me look for it, he really found it and took it for himself. Therefore, nakitnale, therefore I'm going to grab a hold of him, I'm going to tell him, Antu Dishkalta, you're the one who took it. Now, what do we mean I'm going to grab him? Rashi says I'm actually going to make him swear a Shvuas Hesus. Tosfos has a couple of problems with that. One of them is, first of all, it's only a Sofrik, you can't mean that. So Tosfos says, okay, maybe it's closer to Bari because there's nobody else. But then Tosfos says, as a historical thing, the Shvuas Hesus didn't exist yet. In Bakapara's times, we're talking about a brisa to explain the shitta of Bakapara. The Shvuas Hesus was only a takana that came in the time of the Amoraim. In fact, in the time of Rav Nachman. So therefore, so Tosfos says doesn't mean a Shvuas Hesus. Just means nakitnale. Means for different rishonim expand on what Tosfos says that he means. For example, I'm gonna embarrass him. I'm gonna whatever. I have recourse. I have a way to browbeat him into to talk him into giving it to me. And the Shach actually says doesn't even have to be. Let's say for example, fine. Tosfos has a point that maybe you can't make him swear a Shvuas Hesus in this case, but the guy himself may not realize that. He may think I have a valid enough case to be able to bring him to Beis Din and make him swear a Shvuas Hesus. Therefore, he's not, even though he's wrong, when he comes to Beis Din, they'll tell him he can't. Nevertheless, that's enough reason for him to not be Miyash yet. On the other hand, B'shlosha ein chayv l'hachzer. On the other hand, Rav Nachman continues, if you have three people involved, then you can't, then you're not obligated to return it. My time, ahu did not come in, by the Miyash, because the one who dropped it is definitely going to be Miyash. And going to be Miyash very soon, as Rashi points out, because Adam also the Mashmish Bekisei, we learned at the beginning of the parak, a person regularly checks his money bag. So very soon he's going to be Miyash, as soon as he realizes it's gone. Meima Oma, because he's going to figure to himself, Mechti Trei Havabadoi, look, after all, there were two people together with me. In a Kitna Lahai Omolo Shekalte, if I grab a hold, Shvuas Hesus, or embarrassment, or whatever, the one person, he's going to say, I didn't take it. In a Kitna Lahai Omolo Shekalte, and if the other one, he's also going to say, I didn't. I have no recourse. I'm not going to get anywhere. So by the same logic, in other words, therefore we're saying, Rav Nachman is saying, therefore by the same logic, you rented out the hotel room to three Jews together, already whoever lost it is going to be Miyash.
So three one after another, no.
But one after the other, then not, then we would go Basta Basra, then we would go based on the last one, yeah. Amar Rava, Haida Amat Vishloisha Ein Chayv L'Hachzer. This that you're saying that you don't have to return it if there's three people together. That would only apply if the coin or the object is not worth a Shava Prutta for each of the three of them. So it's worth less than three Pruttas. Because the Chiv of a Shava Taveda, like many other things in the Torah, only applies to a Shava Prutta. We're going to expand on that more on Chavzai and Amar Aleph over Yom Tov. If there's enough in it to be worth a shava prutta for each one, then you do have to return it. My timer, because then you could say they might very well be shutfim. Therefore, in other words, Rashi says they all trust each other. Neither one suspects the other one of taking away his chelek. So therefore, when he checks his pocket and doesn't find it, he's going to figure that, yes, okay, maybe one of my partners found it. He's not intending to steal it from me. At most, he's trying to give me a hard time. He's going to wait until I'm sweating over it, and then he's going to pull it out. So therefore, there's no yush. And since, again, Rashi says, since yush shalomidas is not yush, as we said at the beginning of the parak, therefore we have to return it.
This is Rava
saying, yeah. So why is Rava saying this? But they have a number of different explanations. Rashi says over here that this is according to Abaya, in which case you might have to say that maybe Rava changed his mind after he was slugged up from the Braisa, then fine, he changed his mind and agreed with Abaya. But there's other explanations also, including that maybe Rava would distinguish in this case that you can't say it's Yerush Shalem Yidas because we said in that Sugya that if it's a case where you can't expect the person was Miyayish to begin with, then even if he was Miyayish afterwards, then it doesn't help you if you found it before Yerush. And here, not necessarily, again, because they're partners and they all trust each other, you can't expect that he was Miyayish until he actually finds out that it really is gone. So it's different. Therefore, even Rava would agree that that's not considered Yerush Shalem Yidas. Yeah. Ikadamri, another version is Omar Rava. No, even if it's worth two prutas, you have to return it. My time, aim a shut vininu, because again, you can say they might be partners. But one of them might have been mochel his portion to the other one. Therefore, you have two prutas belonging to two people, one pruta to each one. So if you have, for example, to say that two of them were moichel to one, and therefore you have to return it even if it's only one prutah, that's an unlikely thing. You don't have to worry about that. But that one of them should have been moichel, his chelek, in favor of the other two, that could happen. Tosfos also talks about over here, for example, so what if you have out of the three people, what if two of them are partners and one of them is not? So Tosfos says, sort of balabatish answer, Tosfos gives a couple of answers on it, but one of them is a very balabatish answer. If you have three people going together, you're not going to have two of them are partners and one is stama hanger on. Either they're all three partners or they're all three not partners. You're not going to have two yes and one not. So Amar Rava. Also Rava says another din. Rav selah shenafla. If somebody sees a coin that somebody else dropped, not the lifna yirsh amanas legoizla, if he takes it before the person had yirsh, so he didn't even wait, Rashi says, long enough for the person to mash mishpikit. So he didn't even wait, he saw the person drop, he didn't even wait long enough for the person to check his money bag and realize it's missing, and he took it intending to keep it for himself, over bakulon, and he's over on all the dinim, on all the mitzvahs that are involved in this connection. Mishum lo sigzel, number one, that he stole it, gezel, or mishum hoshif tashivim, number two, that he has the mitzvah that he's supposed to return it, and also the mitzvah that the Torah says you're not allowed to overlook it, you're not allowed to ignore it.
The pasuk says
you have to return a lost object. And you're not allowed to pretend you didn't see it. And we're going to talk about that, the dinim of lo soch alei salam, later in the parak, on that flamer or thereabouts. The afa gab the chazir l'acha yirsh, and even if he were to return it to the person after yirsh. Fine, the person can accept it. Matana hu diyovle. Fine, he's giving him matana. The isur da avad avad, but the isur that he did is already done, and he can't undo that. Now, Tosfos says that's not talking about the isur of lo sigzo. That's true. Lo sigzo is a lava nitik laser. Fine, you stole it from him, you return it to him. You're makayim beheshev esagzela. Tosfos says what we mean is that you can't undo. You did gezel by taking it to begin with. Now you returned it, Tosfos learns, fine, you're undoing the gezel. However, you are what we mean when the Gemara says that you're not undoing completely what you did means you were over on lois soch halis alim, and you were over on hoshav teshivim, and now by returning it, you're not making that up. It's already after yush. The Ramban learns differently. The Ramban says that actually
gezel is reversible because
gezel is a lava nitik lasa.
And the two others not.
But lo soch alei salam, you ignored it already at the time. You can't undo that now.
But
now you ignored it.
Hoshav teshivim, why not after
yirsh? Because it's not his anymore. It's after yirsh. Hoshav teshivim means that you have to return it to him while it's still his. So actually, the Ramban goes further than Tosfos. The Ramban says no. Literally, the Gemara means you're not even undoing the veheshiv esagzela because aveda is different than gezel. Aveda, as soon as yirsh happens, it's in your reshus.
And forever, irreversible.
Well, the point is rather no. The point is when you picked it up before yirsh, you weren't koine it yet because it was before yirsh. Afterwards, even the guy had yirsh. It's not considered. it's out of his possession already. It's no longer you can't be returning it and be accomplishing the Heshev HaSagdela because it was never fully out of his Rishus in the first place because you picked it up before Yish. Therefore, you were over on Lo Sigzo, but now you're not undoing it by returning it to him.
But even if he didn't make Yish and you changed the Makam, so then there's a shinui sufficient.
That's not a shinui. It's a shinui of makom. It's not a shinui. You have to have a shinui. First of all, by zela, you have
zela.
That's the shinui reshus. That's the change of reshus. Here, there's no change of reshus. Not another din. Not lo lifnei yirush amanas lachzir. What if you picked it up before yirush, intending to return it? Or la'achah yirush niskavim legozlo. But then after the guy was miyayish, you changed your mind and decided to keep it for yourself. So then, fine. You're not over on. So you're not over on Loisigzo, fine, because when you picked it up, you were picking it up for the right reason.
Did you have to announce that to someone? Or
no. We're talking about this is by not a mamakim we're talking about over here. Yeah. Over mishum hashiv to shivim, then you're over on the mitzvah of hashiv to shivim because you have that mitzvah until you return it. In this case, you didn't return it. Some of the Rishonim, such as the Baal Amor, learn that actually the Gemara doesn't mean to say you're only over on Hashav Teshivim. You are, in fact, over on Loi Socha Leis Alim as well. The Gemara is just not mentioning that. But the point is, you're not over on Loi Sigzel. Himtin, Lodge, Nisiyashra, Baal Menotla, what if a third possibility? You waited to pick it up until the owner had Yush, until he checked his money bag and then didn't find it and violated the Chesir in case, and then you picked it up. But meanwhile, you had seen it beforehand. Then you're only over on Lo Socha Leis Alim because you ignored it when you had a chance to pick it up before Yush and return it. But you're not over on Lo Sigzel because you didn't pick it up while it was still there. And you're not over on Hashiv Teshivim because Hashiv Teshivim only applies once you picked it up.
What's the punishment?
So I mean, these are things they're not on the market. Basically, it's not like they're not punishable in Beis Din because Lo Sigzel is a lava mitzvah that's normally able to be undone by returning it. Lo Socha Leis Alim is passive. It's a lav she'en be'maise. You're not doing anything. You're just passively watching, and that's something up to the Eibush. That's not Beis Din. No, it's an issue. The person can have to do trivia for him. Okay, another din. Omar Rava, Haiman de Chazi de Nafel Zuzim Echavre Bechal. So if somebody sees that another person drops coins in a place of sand, like on the beach, the Ashkeche, and you find the coin, the Shakle, and you took it, you're not obligated to return it to the guy. My time, Ahu de Nafel Minei Miyash, because the one who dropped it is going to be Miyash. And by the way, some are showing him to say that the Gemara may be talking about it, but even if it has a simon, which an individual coin can have, we said before, an individual coin can have a simon, but let's say, for example, it's wrapped up in a piece of cloth or something, then it has a simon. But even in that case, no. Because when it falls into the sand, that's it, it's a goner, you're not going to find it again.
Wind blows.
Yeah. But it's effectively the same as Dutta Shoyan, basically. It's like you found it at the bottom of the sea. My timer, what's the reason? I wouldn't know from my name Miyashu, because the person who dropped it is going to be Miyash. And afagav de chazia de os de icy arbalov come marble, even if you see that afterwards this person brings a sieve and starts sifting the sand, so before he wasn't the ash, still, yeah. No, because Meima Omer, we still say, because what does the person effectively say to himself? Ki heichel de nofel minai didi hachi, just like I dropped my coin over here, nofel minai shachrin, somebody else also must have dropped something similar over here, o mashkachna midi, so maybe I'll find something. Which, the ritual points, that doesn't mean literally. I mean, if a guy doesn't expect to find his own coin, he's not expecting to find somebody else's thing either. It's just that, it means, in other words, it just means he misasked the alma. He's not seriously making an effort to find his coin because he knows it's a goner over there.
Well, he went to a place where he was going to tend and camping, and that's spot. He had the plane, the kids were playing the money. He knows the money might be there, and sifting it.
Maybe, okay, if he knows the specific place on there. Could be. But anyway, the point is that under normal circumstances, we say that, no, he's standing the Sassic Bahama. He's just, like we said before, about a person screaming because his house fell down. His screaming doesn't make a difference. It's it. Okay. Should we continue with the Mishnah and a little Zagmara, or should we leave it for tomorrow?
It's up to you, because you're the one of the kids.
Right. Yeah, I think let's call it.
I'm going ahead because it's later on.
Right. Okay.
So what's...